The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Leading off with the big story of the day, Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and T-Mac.
What does the NBA stand for? But what have you done for me lately, Lee?
Yeah, thanks for all that, Michael Porter Jr.
Combazo!
Combazo was great yesterday.
D-Mac likes to get mad at the Rudy. Like D-Mac, D-Mac's least favorite guy on the team is Rudy. The try hard, the work hard, the coach's favorite guy. You know, that's the dude that D-Mac likes to hate on, not the dude that's getting $200 million to show up every third day.
Combazo.
Yeah,
let's rag on Rudy. That's who we should have.
I got nothing to say about Campazzo.
Campazzo's the problem.
Campazzo.
He was great last night. They were all great last night. Everybody on the floor. By the way, the Nuggets did do a deal. They put Marcus Howard, who is, you know, the same height as Campazzo.
Campazzo.
And they put him in the G League. And people are speculating, is that making room for Boogie Cousins,
yeah,
to get like a 10-day tryout with the Nuggets.
Man, this feels like this has been going on for a month that we're going to sign Boogie. Seriously.
We'll see. They made some room. I don't know. I don't have an answer. I was sniffing around that last night. Nobody really knew. But we wake up this morning and they've moved Howard to the G League, so maybe.
I'd be interested if they signed him. I would. Most of the time, I would think that you don't want to bring like a guy like that into the team. But you're in such a weird spot right now, and I know they had a good game last night, but you're in such a weird spot that you kind of need some attitude. You kind of need some guys that are going to come in and just be a little bit different.
It's
quirky
because you really don't need him if Uncle Jeff Green plays the way he's played. But I don't know. That's a tough thing to count on. Mike Singer was funny last night. He was like, I was about to ask Jeff Green if he wants to be in the slam dunk contest. You know, Jeff Green is like 34 years old, which is like 112 in NBA years. You know, just being like in your 30, is he 34 or 36? Something like that. Everybody just looks at Jeff Green as like being the oldest guy on earth.
Well, that's because these older NBA players, they started when they're 18.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Jeff Green's a great guy, too. Nuggets have a lot of cool characters, man. I'm a big fan of the team. I hope things go way more like they do last night moving forward. That being said, you know, let me clear the decks of this one, too. Nathan MacKinnon has some fun things about Nazem Kadri not making the All-Star team.
Yeah, it's silly. I don't think every team should send a guy. I think it's a silly rule that we have. It's an all-star game. It's not a participation game. You know, Nas is, what is he, second or third in scoring in the NHL, and he's not on the, and he's got to get voted in still. So I don't think that's right. You know, I look back when I went, when we came last, I went, and I was, I had a poor season. So I knew I shouldn't have been there. A lot of guys should have been there over me. So it just is what it is. But at the end of the day, it doesn't mean a ton. It's an all-star game. It's for fun. It obviously gets hyped up and things like that. But yeah, I mean, we should have 5-6 guys going from our team, I think. And yeah.
Man, if you really think about it, that really is the dumbest rule of all time. You're telling me an all-star game has to have one person from every team? What are we talking about? I mean, it's like totally anti-all-star team.
Taves on the Avalanche is like one of the best defensemen, period. Like, he was borderline making the Canadian Olympic team, but he had some things in the beginning of the year, so he hasn't played much, but he deserves to go. Kadri definitely deserves to go, and Landeskog probably. Mika Rantanen could probably go. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous how many guys could go.
I mean, I suppose you could make a case that Justin Simmons should have made the Pro Bowl this year. I mean, he's very well-respected across the league, so it's not like it would have been a joke. But seriously, there's a reason why when you're on bad football teams, sometimes you don't have anybody make the Pro Bowl. The Broncos had nobody, and that makes sense. We're talking about the all-star team.
The All-Pro team came out today, too.
I know, and good for Justin.
What was he, second team tied for second team All-Pro?
Yeah.
That's good. That's cool.
But, you know.
How does he not make the Pro Bowl, then?
Players value that one more than the Pro Bowl.
Your two quarterbacks? Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. All-Pro.
Why are you laughing at that? I don't get it.
It's amazing that guys their age could be the two best quarterbacks. They are.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I'm just laughing at the just wow, wild. And
yeah.
Deserved.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, the way you set it up, I thought you were acting like it doesn't make sense.
No, the crazy thing is how long you can play at a high level at quarterback if you're the right type of guy. It's amazing.
Well, it's starting to turn that way. And, you know, all the rules that the NFL has changed, it certainly has benefited the quarterbacks. And I guess in the big picture, that's been a good thing because quarterbacks make the league thrive. And if you could tell me that based off all the rules that you've changed and the way that you protect these QBs, that you get to see Tom Brady play till he's 46 years old. All right, cool.
The Avalanche play the worst team in hockey tonight, the Coyotes. Over or under 6.5 for goals?
Shoot, goals have never been a problem for the Avalanche. The problem's been, well, they don't have many problems, just to be clear.
They might have a goaltender problem.
Yeah, well, that's the point. I mean, they could score 8 goals a game, but they give up 7. And so they sneak it out, they get the victory. But, yeah. Kemper's been very, very frustrating. I mean, at his best, he's been okay.
Well, they should have no problem tonight. The Coyotes are terrible, and if you're going to the game tonight, I don't know. It might be a taco night. It's just, seriously, I don't know what would stop the Avalanche from scoring 7, 8, 9 goals tonight. So have fun if you want to see a lot of goals. That should be the night for you. And then the Lakers in town Saturday. There's always something cool about the Lakers coming here, don't you think? LeBron coming here,
of course. I mean, there's no question. You know, it's the Tom Brady effect. It's the Patrick Mahomes effect. If you're going to go to one Broncos game and you're only going to go to one, what are you going to do? You're going to go to the Patrick Mahomes game. That's because you want to see Patrick Mahomes. The Lakers, they've still got that effect. And, you know, they're such an interesting team this year. And Russell Westbrook's been terrible. But I do think just their roster is a compelling storyline.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's the old man league.
By the way, you know who's been kind of terrible every now and then? Is Steph Curry. Steph Curry, every now and then.
Dude, he's like MVP candidate. Like, what are you talking about?
He shouldn't be. He's too for an MVP, he's too inconsistent. He has not been good of late. And the Warriors just got whacked last night. He is just all over the place. Now, I'm not debating how great he is. Of course, he's a great player. But just look at his numbers, man. It is this kind of crazy roller coaster with him. And, you know, of course, I think it's ridiculous. I think Jokic is by far the best player in the league. He's so dominant. He's so important. To me, he's a slam dunk MVP again. Jokic never has these crazy down nights like Steph Curry. He doesn't.
I'm looking at his numbers, man. He's had a couple games. I'll give you that. In the last month, he's had 2 games where he scored 12 points. He scored 14 points. But then you're talking 27, 28, 28, 23, 23, 33, 46. So, okay, he had 2 games where he scored less than 17
points. The game he scored 23 points. How many shots did he put up in that game? He might have put up 40 to 50 shots.
Yeah, I don't know.
Listen, I'm not trying to rag on Steph Curry. What I'm trying to do is just point out how unbelievably consistent Jokic is, that you just don't have nights like that from Jokic ever. The only reason Jokic had the numbers he had, which were still solid, is he didn't play in the fourth quarter because he didn't need to.
Yeah, Steph is averaging 26.4 points per game. That's,
I get it, but he's also had some lousy games. He has. I'm not saying he's not one of the best players out there. I'm just saying Jokic is the guy.
No argument that Jokic is the MVP. None.
We'll check in with Danny Welniak in Kansas City as the Broncos continue, roll on their head coaching stretch. And we'll get into Eric Bieniemy. And is this the year for Eric Bieniemy? Is it here? Is it Minnesota? Is it someplace else? We'll talk to Danny in just a little bit. In terms of the coaching search, if you're talking to Luke Getsy, which they are today. Okay, this is a bit of a deep pull, and everybody just kind of sees him in tandem if they hire Nathaniel Hackett. Mm. So does that change, in your opinion, the interview or what you'd be asking him about?
I do think it changes it. I mean, honestly, I know that Nathaniel Hackett joked about doing the stepbrothers interview. I think that would be a fascinating philosophy of how you could, in theory, go about your head coaching process. So you call up all the guys that you want to interview and you say, look, I don't need to know your entire staff, But if you happen to know who your two coordinators are going to be, tell me who they're going to be. And then you don't necessarily have to interview them all at the same time, but it would be an interesting philosophy to say, okay, if Nathaniel Hackett told you that that Getsy was going to be his offensive coordinator, you say, okay, I'm going to interview Nathaniel Hackett, but on the same day, I'm going to interview his OC. And you could do that for all of your candidates, and I think that would be a really smart approach to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I doubt that the Broncos have told him, we're not interested in you as the head coach. I'd be shocked if they've actually told him that. And you know what? Who am I to say that they're not interested in him as a head coach? But it sure makes a whole lot of sense to me. And I think that that would be an innovative way to go about the interview process. Mm-hmm. That honestly, teams should consider doing that. Especially like, okay, like we're a team that needs offensive innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And all right, Dan Quinn, like we know who you are. We know who you are. But who are you going to bring? Who are you going to bring on the offensive side of the ball? And let's talk to that dude. Let's figure out if we like that guy or not. I think Dan Quinn's far and away the best candidate, but it's a good example of saying, all right, if we're going to go outside the box, if we're going to go defense again, I do need to know who your offensive coordinator is going to be, and I do need to know if I like this guy.
All right, I'm thinking of the offensive coordinators, quarterback coaches off the top of my head, and who they're linked to in terms of a quarterback. So Getsy and Hackett are linked with, obviously, Aaron Rodgers. Bieniemy is linked with Patrick Mahomes. Callahan is linked with Joe Burrow.
I mean, are you just saying, like, who they... You're saying who they've been around previously?
No, who they're working with right now.
Oh, okay.
Who they're working
all
with right now.
Right, yeah.
My question is... Am I missing one, too? Is there another offensive coordinator I'm forgetting about now?
Well, Kevin O'Connell.
I did forget about him.
Kellen Moore.
O'Connell with...
So, Kellen Moore's got Dak. Kevin O'Connell's got Matthew Stafford.
Okay. There you go. Thank you. I'm missing two. Which one of those coaches with those quarterbacks is the most impressive? Meaning the coach really...
Who's done the most with the least?
Yes. Yes.
They've all got damn good quarterbacks.
Right.
I mean, name a quarterback on that list that you wouldn't want.
Right. There's none. I'd take any of them.
I seriously can't think of one. Give me Dak any day of the week. Give me Matthew Stafford any day of the week. Give me Aaron Rodgers. Who else? Give me Patrick Mahomes.
Mm.
So I don't even know how to answer that question. I guess I would say Kellen Moore and Kevin O'Connell have been the most impressive. Because Kevin O'Connell had to do it with Jared Goff, and he's doing it with Matthew Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott is leading the most powerful offense in the NFL right now, mm-hmm. and I think Dak is a damn good quarterback. Is he a top three QB? I mean, we know Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers are top three.
That's the question. I'm looking who's really doing the best job. But here's the
Kellen Moore has got the best offense in the NFL. So if you just want to go based off numbers, Kellen Moore is doing the best job.
Okay. You know, Eric Dalala of DenverBroncos.com did a article recently where all the local media was sort of, you know, who you think, that sort of thing. Mike Kliss, and we'll talk to Mike in about a half hour, he was really banging the table for Kellen Moore. And he's the only guy I've seen out there that's just been like, nope, that's the guy, Kellen Moore. And we can ask Mike about it, but perhaps... That's it. Maybe Kellen Moore has done the best job out of all those guys, all things in total. But let's not look past Eric Bieniemy, that's for sure. Danny Welniak, sports director for KCTV5 in Kansas City, joins us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. What do you think this time around for Eric Bieniemy? What should we expect?
Well, hey, guys. First of all, thank you for having me back on your show in enemy territory. I appreciate that greatly. But also, I really enjoy getting a chance to talk about Eric Bieniemy with other stations and other cities, because a lot of times you don't necessarily see what goes on behind the scenes with offensive coordinators. And a lot of times there's always this, okay, are they calling plays? Are they not calling plays? Like, what's actually going on inside of that facility? And for the past couple of coaching cycles, obviously we've seen EB, as we call him here in Kansas City, get passed over for multiple different jobs. And the crazy thing is that Andy Reid is obviously his biggest proponent. And so he thinks that it's absolutely ridiculous that he hasn't gotten a head coaching job yet. But Bieniemy will not talk about it. He was poked and prodded this week because we saw the news come out that you guys, the Broncos, had requested an interview with him. And obviously he can't interview until after the first round of the playoffs. But just to see where he stood, what other kind of interviews were coming his way, maybe what he thinks about it, how excited he is for this opportunity. And he would not talk about it. The only thing that he would say was that I am focused on Pittsburgh, and I will give a lot of credit to Mike Tomlin, because when we coached together in Minnesota, I actually took the way that he started interviewing for head coaching jobs, and I basically made a booklet out of that. And that was my inspiration to really want to be a head coach and to be a successful head coach like Tomlin has been. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's so crazy, just kind of the different perspectives and what people think of him and like what's actually going on inside the facility versus what's going on with other organizations. It's just been kind of a wild ride. And those of us here in Kansas City know he deserves to be a head coach, but we also don't know what goes on inside that interview room. So it's been very, very interesting for us to follow.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Danny, I've known Eric since I was 17. He recruited me to the University of Colorado, and I'm a Buff, so I followed his career very, very closely. And I got to say, it's like the most fascinating story I've ever seen. I don't know if there's ever been a candidate that has interviewed more times than Eric Bieniemy and not gotten a job yet. So why don't you break that down for us a little bit? What does he really do? Because there is this assumption that it's Andy Reid's show. Like how is Kansas – I'll ask you, here, I'll make it simple. How is Kansas City affected if Eric Bieniemy leaves? What changes, and how does that affect their football team?
I think that it's a huge loss because of what he brings to the offensive side of the ball. And we all know that Andy Reid, his offenses aren't necessarily run-focused. He definitely likes to throw the ball. And when you've got a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, why wouldn't you? But to bring that perspective as, you know, a former running back himself and a running back coach, as an offensive coordinator, I think is really good to kind of even out Andy. And so they get the most out of their running backs, but they also get the most out of their offensive line. And we've seen him be able to help these running backs basically plug and play. And over the last couple of years, it's kind of been this rotating door of backs. And they're not necessarily upper echelon, big name backs. I mean, Darrell Williams, an undrafted guy, has been the big name for Kansas City. Damian Williams just 2 years ago should have been the Super Bowl MVP because of his performance. And these aren't necessarily guys that are like the big name guys, but somehow Andy Reid and Bieniemy make that happen. And I give a lot of credit to Bieniemy for that as well, and the way that he helped plan and scheme up the offense. But Bieniemy has said before that he doesn't necessarily call plays. It's a lot of Andy Reid when they actually get out there on game day. But I think that's kind of been the case since Andy's been here. And I think sometimes, you know, he'll let off the reins a little bit, like with Matt Nagy or Doug Peterson, and say, okay, you know, this game you get to call plays, or this game you get to call plays. But for the most part, like, obviously he's the boss. He's the final say-so. So he ultimately calls the final play. And I think that's with any offensive coordinator that's been under him. But Bieniemy is the first one to admit that, hey, I don't call plays all year. But Andy is a big proponent that he is a huge part of instituting the game plan and a big part of what they do, you know, all 6 days leading up to Sunday. And so I think that's just as important, if not as important, as what happens on Sundays in the game calling on Sundays. So I think Kansas City loses somebody very, very valuable. And the biggest thing is that he's a player's coach. So as you just said, you know him, you're a Buff. He is very, very good at getting along with the guys and getting the best out of his guys. And I know sometimes that we've seen the blowups on the sideline. There was one in particular just a year ago with Travis Kelce, but the players are the first ones to come out and say, hey, look, like, that's kind of our relationship. That's how we interact. And it's nothing bad. It's just the heat of the battle. And so I love that about him. You don't see that all the time. And I think he adjusts and adapts. And I don't think a lot of coaches necessarily do that, but he makes sure that he gets the most out of his players and he puts them in a position to be successful. So I think that's what Kansas City would lose and another team would gain.
Well, you certainly don't have to tell us about EB's dynamic personality. We've seen it around here for many, many years.
I can tell you some stories from getting recruited.
Right. Yeah. We know that. I guess based on that, I would ask, how has that evolved or changed, and specifically with his relationship with Patrick Mahomes, where has he grown as a coach over the past couple of years, in your opinion?
Oh, I think he's grown immensely. I mean, just from the way that he talks about his players, the way that he tells us in the media what's going on inside of that locker room and how he's dealing with Mahomes. Now, we know in Kansas City that it is primarily Mahomes and Reid. That is the like, that is the dynamic. They are connected at the hip. So every time you see them on the sideline, it's going to be Mahomes and Reed. So I don't necessarily think that that is the closest relationship on the Chiefs. I think that he helps Mahomes become a better quarterback because he kind of allows him to see the whole picture and helps him kind of understand. I think a big thing that Bienemy helps with is the offensive line too. And especially with this year, the Chiefs have had a completely new revamped offensive line. And so having to adjust and get comfortable and find that chemistry and get back to the basics for Mahomes, I think Bienemy plays a big part in that. But I think when it comes to like the actual deep core of Patrick's development, I think a lot of that is on Andy Reid because he is the quarterback guru.
Does he have any other interviews lined up this year outside of the Broncos? I would assume the Vikings will, but I haven't heard anything about that just yet. Are you aware of any others?
The Broncos are the only ones that I've heard come out. Like you said, I have heard some positive things about Minnesota trending in that direction. But I think a lot of teams are probably going to wait until after this first round of playoffs to actually extend those interviews. But I do, hey, I totally admire the fact that the Broncos are willing to go out there and they're like, yep, we're going to interview him. Let's go. He's got the local ties and he's got the Andy Reid coaching tree. I would absolutely hate it though if he went there because then he would have to play, I guess the Chiefs would have to play Denver.
Oh yeah. You guys really hate playing Denver. You guys are so intimidated by playing Denver, Danny. We know it must be awful to win 13 straight times against the Broncos. God, I don't know how you sleep at night, Danny. You people from Kansas City.
It's a really tough life.
You're too nice. That's the problem. All right,
they're actually miserable human beings.
Last quick one.
Except for Danny.
Last quick one for you. What do folks in Kansas City honestly think about Jackson Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes' brother?
Oh, that's a great question.
The TikTok star.
Oh, man, that is a great question. I just think it's just such a wild situation because I think his situation is so very unique in the fact that he has risen to this fame and this TikTok fame, especially because of what Patrick Mahomes has been able to do on the football field. And I think that that can be really, really overwhelming for someone who's young and hasn't necessarily had that kind of fame and attention and fortune before. And so it's almost like it happens overnight. And so from my perspective, I know that families can be absolutely crazy. And I know that everyone has their story, including me. So I will not be one to judge. But I do know that there is a lot of love and support in that Mahomes family, and they've got each other's backs no matter what.
Uh-huh.
And I know that Mahomes and his marketing team and all of those guys trying to do their best to reel it in, but there's only so much that you can do.
All right, yeah, you got to be careful, Danny, with what you say, but I think we get the idea.
I kind of want to ask about Brittany also, but I won't.
Oh, about Brittany? I mean, that would be... I'm going to tell you, you can ask it, but Danny shouldn't answer it.
No, I'm not going to put her in that spot. No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
Hey, you are welcome to ask those questions. I actually am a big fan of hers because I do a lot of work with her and the Kansas City Current, the women's soccer team. So she's a part owner of that. And so we've gotten along really well. I have enjoyed my interactions with her, although I have not been at a game with her. So I know that that's a different intensity and a different level, but my business interactions with her have been great.
Danny, that is absolutely the right answer for you to give. No doubt about it. Yes. Thank you, Danny. It was great talking to you.
Great job, Danny. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, Danny Welniak.
You hung up on her.
I didn't.
That actually
was Richie.
No, it's always you.
No.
I saw you reach.
All right. We'll see how it goes for EB. We'll see how it goes. And we don't know the Giants, we don't really know. The Vikings, actually, we really don't know. And we'll see where it goes with the Broncos.
According to Vegas, he's the front runner for the Vikings job.
For
whatever that's worth.
That would make sense. You have a moral and ethical dilemma.
I do, yeah.
We'll address it in the water cooler next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports. Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
What are you going to do? A moral and ethical dilemma. What happens when you find somebody you really respect and like, but they happen to be a player or coach for a team you can't stand? And we enter the world of Jay Norvell at CSU.
You know, I spent 7 years at Oklahoma and with Bob Stoops, and Barry Switzer's house was two blocks from the stadium. And so Barry used to come by, and, you know, the facility's named after him and all that. I mean, he used to, with his golden retriever, his dog used to run through the building. And he was welcome. And that's the way we want Coach Lubick to be. This is his program. He spent a lot of years here, and I just have always been that way. I love getting to know the former coaches, and I love listening and learning from them. I think it's important. I think, to continue those traditions and the legacy that they've left, it's important for us to know it.
Man, D-Mac, every time I listen to this guy, honestly, since the day they hired him, every single presser he's had, I've walked away from it with a weird and unusual feeling. One that is hard to explain. I'm not quite sure what it is. I'm trying to process it. I think it's like compassion. It's like maybe even a degree of I think I really like this guy.
Compassion.
There's like this feeling inside compassion. Of me that I'm like, oh, I kind of want to root for this guy.
Uh-huh.
Like it's created this real just moral dilemma inside of me that I'm like, oh. I kind of like this guy, and he's the Rams coach. I got to tell you, I mean, jokes aside, I love this man. I really do. He's making it so easy to want the Rams to be successful. What he just said right there sounds like nothing, and it sounds like a no-brainer that a coach would come in and he would say, hey, this is Sonny Lobick's program. Like, he created this thing. Of course I want him around. Of course I want to learn from him. Of course I want guys like Joel Dreesen and Eric Pears and the great CSU Rams to come back into the building and be around. And that sounds like it's obvious, but do you know how many coaches come in and do the exact opposite? Honestly, when Dan Hawkins got to the University of Colorado, mm-hmm. you know what the very first thing he did was?
He painted over something, didn't he?
That's right. He ripped down everything in the building mm-hmm. that had to do with our history. Mm. So we had this wall that as you walk out onto the field, mm-hmm. it's a cinder block wall that was painted over mm-hmm. and it was the gold block wall. And it was all the wins against top 25 teams over the course of Colorado history.
Okay.
And he came in with a white paintbrush and he painted over it all.
Wow.
Erased the history.
Why?
We had this saying that's easy to mock right now based off the current state of the program. I get it. But it's a saying that Bill McCartney brought in that was right at the front of the Dow Ward Auditorium that says the pride and tradition of the Colorado Buffaloes will not be entrusted to the timid or the weak. It's something that we have lived by for decades. He painted over it. He got rid of it.
Wow.
He wanted nothing to do with the previous history of the Colorado Buffaloes program because he wanted to put his stamp onto the program.
Mm.
Man, when our strength coach, and I'll stop making this about me here in a second. I'll get back to Jay Norvell, but our strength coach, he's at the University of Colorado. In his office at the University of Colorado, he's got a framed photo that is the size of that window right there. I'm talking like a 6 foot big photo
mm-hmm.
that is a photo of the Boise State Stadium
mm-hmm.
in our strength room. And in our weight room, we're looking at their stadium. Like they wanted to recreate Boise State at the University of Colorado. And it created so much animosity for us. They were like, hey, man, we like Coach Barnett.
Mm-hmm.
We love the Colorado history. And Jay Norvell, this dude is smart. He's coming in. He's embracing it. He's been a home run. Honestly, every single time he speaks, I walk away from it. And I'm like, I'm turning into a Rams fan. I am. And like, I can't even joke about that. Like, you know, I all I do is trash on the Rams. And this guy, man, I'm 100% rooting for him. I don't have a moral dilemma, although I joke about it. I love him. I really, really like him. I'm rooting for him. And I think it's the best thing CSU has done since Sonny Lubick.
You know what that tells me? You don't really hate the Rams. You really don't. Now, that actually is somewhat condescending. I think CSU fans should want you to say, I don't care how nice he is, what traditions they have. I don't care. Mm. I want them to lose every damn game up your CSU.
Right.
But here's what sucks for CSU Rams fans. Yeah.
Well, we're just better human beings than they are.
They're finding out you don't care enough about them to really hate them all that much. So that is actually, and I'll give you a story.
Oh, man, I wish I could make more jokes right now, but CU's just so terrible. It's not even fun to make jokes.
You just don't hate them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't. I really don't. 100%, I do not hate the Rams
quick
fans.
Quick story. I loved Roger Clemens growing up.
Yeah.
He was it. I loved Roger Clemens. He goes to the New York Yankees. I bought tickets, the best tickets I could find, as close to the field as possible when he was playing for the Yankees at Coors Field so I could boo Roger Clemens.
Yeah.
And for the time that he was in the game, because I hate the Yankees so much
right.
that it didn't matter if I loved him before.
Right.
Now I hated him.
Yeah.
Because it didn't matter.
So he was a legend for our team previously. He's dead to me now. Yeah.
Dead to me.
Yeah.
Wade Boggs, dead to me.
Right.
Johnny Damon, dead to me. Dead to me, because I hate the Yankees. You don't really hate the Rams.
Well, you know, it's hard to hate somebody that's just been so easy to beat.
Here
I mean, you want to look at the history. It's like, is there a threat? Like, does anybody hate their little brother? Like, anybody hates their little brother? Is there anybody out there that hates their little brother? No, you love them. You're like, you'll never be me. You'll never accomplish. You'll never fill my shoes. But I love you. Like, it'd be impossible to hate my little brother. So with that being said, I'm rooting for my little brother. I'm rooting for Norvell. I'm rooting for the Colorado State Rams. You're welcome.
Mike Kliss joins us next.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider, joins us now, courtesy of Bed River Sportsbook. Hey, Mike, we just had Danny Welniak, who is a sports director for KCTV 5 in Kansas City. What kind of shot do you think Eric Bieniemy has with the Broncos?
You know, maybe 20% chance.
Okay.
Not very high.
No. I mean, I think it's Dan Quinn or some of the other offensive coordinators that are calling plays. But, you know, Fritz Pollard came out today and blasted – you know, the Fritz Pollard Allegiance or Association and blasted the NFL, firing Flores, firing Cully, and there's only now one, you know, diversity coach, a minority coach in the NFL, and that's Mike Tomlin. And, you know, it's one of those things where it seems like in regard to diversity, the NFL takes one step up and two steps back. And so I give him I hate to put it like this. Well, first of all, he's deserving. Two, he's overdue, way overdue. And three, there's a little pressure. So I don't discount him here. And I also believe that you know, the committee, there's members of the committee that really like Eric Bieniemy. I mean, do think he's a good coach, you know, believe he can bring some of that Andy Reid, Kansas City Chiefs offensive system here. He's worked with George Payton. So I think 20% is, you know, I think before his chances were maybe 5%. 20%. I think he's got a better chance this time than he has before. I still don't think he's close to being the favorite, though.
Well, it would feel like on the surface this year between the Broncos and the Vikings, nobody knows him better than the Denver Broncos with George Payton and certainly the Vikings. So, I would like to think that he's got a fairly legitimate chance at it. But you say 20%, and then I'll turn around and I'll ask you about the guy we're interviewing today, Luke Getsy. I mean, I'd be shocked if he said that he had anything more than a 20% chance of landing the job. I mean, what would you say about Luke?
I would say he's got a 5% chance.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
he's the guy. To me, it's pretty obvious that they're interviewing Luke Getsy to be the offensive coordinator if Nathaniel Hackett is the head coach. And, you get that package deal going and you go after Aaron Rodgers. That's the move there with Getsy. They're meeting with him today. He has not been a coordinator. It's amazing. Jared Mayo has really jumped up. He's one of the leading candidates now for the Houston Texans. It'll be interesting to see if the Broncos are able to actually get that schedule done with Jared Mayo. I think the some of these guys, there's seven of them that are in the playoffs to interview next week.
Mm-hmm.
And the schedule's not set because they're going to arrange the schedule based on which coaches lose and are available earlier in the week and which coaches win who won't be available till later in the week. So they got to do a little juggling here depending on how the playoffs fall.
Well, what else are you hearing about the coaching search? What else should we know?
So far the only one that they've interviewed was Aaron Glenn, and, he was 3.5 to 4 hours. Yesterday, the guy's got a presence about him. He's firm. I don't think Brandon McManus would yell at him on the sidelines. I just think he commands a lot of respect. The big thing with Aaron Glenn is that he has Belichick. Bill Parcells, Belichick, and Sean Payton, in his corner. And everyone says he's going to be a head coach someday, but he's now 49 and he hasn't really come close. So it was good that they interviewed him. Getsy, I believe George had dinner with Getsy last night and the full interview with the search committee today. And then they're staying after to interview Nathaniel Hackett tomorrow. The whole thing about this, guys, is it's not a news thing. It's just a process that you have to go through. You have to give a half a day interview, and it's tedious. For us, it's not much action. Everybody's antsy to hear who they're going to pick, but they just got started on this thing.
I think that's actually a really interesting approach that teams could take. Interview the head coach candidate, but also interview who he would bring along with as the offensive coordinator. And, I doubt if they told Getsy that's specifically why they're interviewing him, but I say why not? And honestly, I would look at it and I would ask you, is there any other combination of coaches that we've got lined up that you would say, yep, this guy would be the head coach and the other guy would be his offensive coordinator?
No, but the Broncos did. No one else here, but the Broncos a couple years ago interviewed, when they interviewed Gary Kubiak, Vance Joseph was the DB coach for the Bengals. And they interviewed Vance Joseph basically to be the defensive coordinator. And the Bengals blocked it. They would not let him. You can block from position coach to coordinator. You can't block the head coach, but you can block, and they did on Vance Joseph.
We interviewed Munchak to be the O-line coach.
It was set up for him to be the head coach again. And then the previous time with, real quick, for Vic Fangio, they interviewed Zach Taylor to be the offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And Cincinnati swooped in and went one step higher, and Zach said, thanks for the offer. But because he was only a quarterback receivers coach at the time with the Rams. So the Broncos are giving them a big step up to offensive coordinator, and the Bengals swooped in and did one better.
All right, Mike, maybe a quick minute here about ownership. Joe Ellis has said once the coaching search is concluded, he'll make a statement about ownership. He said he wouldn't make a statement about ownership until Roper was concluded. 2 days later, it was. Mm-hmm. What do you think we will hear from Joe Ellis once he talks about it after the coach is hired?
I think we're going to hear that team is for sale.
How do you think he'll put it? Because he's going to have to explain why it's not going to stay with the Bowen family.
Yeah, I don't know how he's going to put it. I mean, he's got two options here to transfer the ownership to Brittany or to I think he'll say, I don't want to go into why. because that would be hurtful, right? I mean, it possibly could be hurtful. There's just been what happened with the and this is, you know, I don't know this. I'm just guessing on this. But, there's been a lot of drama with the Bowling kids. And I think NFL ownership, not just, you know, Joe Ellis, but Roger Goodell and Arthur Blank and Robert Kraft and all those guys have looked in at the situation. And there's quite a few maybe candidates out there that they think could better do this. And plus financially, I'm not sure, you know, you would transfer. And then if you transferred to the Bolins, it's still an equity piece, right? And if you sell, it's a cash piece. And so, with Beth and Amy, with the lawsuit, you know, I'm guessing that, I don't know. I shouldn't speak for him, but selling it just seems like the way to resolve this whole situation. And that's the way it seems obvious to me. So that's what I think will happen, although I don't know that's going to happen. I do think he'll make that announcement, 2 to 3 days after the head coach is hired.
Okay, well, we're here for all of it. Thank you. Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider, courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook. Meanwhile, what is the solution at quarterback? We may have a bit of a blueprint for you. Football at 4 is next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.